Do you understand my point?
No, the same thing happened. I mean, I got some very, very fine shirts. I said, okay, these ones I'm still wearing you. You are very nice. I just gently collected all of them, ironed them neatly, folded, and took to that same fellow. He knows how to distribute them. No, there's one guy I know. Once I go to him, he knows those who need them to give them to. What is the point? I realize that God said, when you are harvesting, you harvest to a particular corner. Listen, even in clothes that you wear, there is a time that is bread for food, and there's a balance that is seed for the sower. Are you getting the principle what I'm trying to say? No, listen, one of the things God is even helping me with in life is that I want to get to a point, I think I'm getting there now, where I don't even sell old things. That is, I finish with a car, I will not sell it to get another one. I just look at this car, you have served me enough. Now, who will you serve next? Are you getting the principle? Because there is seed for the sower, there is bread for food. And God has said, don't eat when you are even harvesting your fields. There's a corner that must be left for those who don't have as much as you do. If I may just say this in passing, that is why when they are shouting, one day I was playing the music, you know. When they are shouting copyright, all right? I will play music. And somebody said, can I copy that? I said, I'm sorry, you can't. He saw a guy beg. I said, no. He said, why? I said, it's a local musician. You can't copy it. Go and buy one. I'm sorry to say this. If you are listening to this in America or Europe, if he's a foreign musician, I will even collect a pirated copy on the street and my conscience will not be touched at all. One day I was watching TV. I was in a book. They did a study on what people will do. And they were asking Christians whether they will participate in iniquity. They said, will you make an illegal copy of a copyrighted material? I said, that's supposed to be whether I'm righteous or wicked. I said, this was obviously written by an American. Come to Nigeria, we live by illegal copies. People say, no, but it is not good. I agree. Basically, it is not. But listen to me. Bill Gates, with all the piracy that they pirate Windows products, are you getting my point? He still gets paid dividends in billions of dollars. Listen, if you get a proper software, or maybe a software valued at about, you want to buy it, $100. Now, $100 to a Nigerian is how much? 150 is 15,000 naira. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I will get myself a decent used Pentium 3 computer for 45,000. That is a third of the price of that whole system. It goes for one software. It doesn't make sense. Please try and get what I'm trying to say. Therefore, what am I saying? A typical young man in the depths of third world is only taking the gleanings from Bill Gates' fields if he takes a pirated copy. It's very, very scriptural. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you go to the road and they sell you Brother Gibson, listen to me. If a Nigerian buys a pirated copy of Passion of the Christ on the roadside, I won't be angry. Now, the one I have is a licensed copy. And those are the issues. Let me tell you something. Integrity Music used to sell their discs in Nigeria for about 900 naira when pirated copies on the streets of the same quality were 200 bucks. I said, you are cheating yourself. Now they have woken up to reality. And license built up now multiplies them in Asaba here. So we cannot buy original Hosanna Integrity Music for 350, 300, 250. And it's original. What am I trying to explain? The principle here is simple. There's a corner of the field. Third world countries for copyrighted materials, as far as I'm concerned, are the corners of the field. The poor are allowed to go in there and glean from it. The man got to survive. That's what God was saying. Therefore, goodness, these guys got to survive. Because if you want a young man to have the best software in Africa, you are telling him to work for 2 months to pay for one. God said it's not a godly principle. Give him the gleanings. I said, if Bill Gates, before I can support all this fight against piracy, maybe something developed in the US, you don't want it to pirate it in Africa. Listen, give them Windows now. You have Windows Longhorn out now, all right? Then give them XP for free. Then it will become ungodly for them to go after Longhorn. But as long as you have not given them anything for free, you want to hold them in perpetual poverty, God is not with you. Are you getting the principle? Listen, all those things in the Bible, they are based on solid issues. That is, God said there's a gleaning, there's a portion. I know a man, look at, you know what I found out? There is no stingy man that endures forever. Let me just say this here. God said that you must ensure that you have treasure in heaven, because treasure in heaven is what sustains the treasure on the earth. There's one man in my place. I think I told him the story before. Very rich man. Extremely wealthy. Honored every year as the highest taxpayer in the state. And honored every year as the largest employer of labor after government. But nobody had anything positive to say about him. He was renowned for being stingy. That if they he had vehicles, he had service stations and all that. That his vehicles that they use for their business, if they drain the oil, you know the spent engine oil, the black spent engine oil, you cannot even take it. Because the man says that it's when they are taking the bad one, they will corner the good one. God said gleanings, they are allowed to take gleanings. If they steal one can of engine oil, close your eyes. Let me tell you this. You know when they shell corn, because guy was into big time farming, when they shell corn so that it remain only the cobs, remove the grain, people couldn't even take the cobs for their fires at home. Because he said, when they are collecting the cobs, that's how they will get the fresh ones also. And he was renowned for disciplining anybody who stole from him to the extreme. If you steal from him, you will go to jail. Then one day, riot over chieftaincy title broke out in the town. Who will be the king? Who will not be the king? This man, you know the interesting thing about Christians? They say, everyone says, oh, the guy is so humble. When you get to church, he's amongst those who take offering. Billionaire taking offering. What kind of humility? Look, I'm not impressed. This is church. No, what am I doing? What's the big deal? Sometimes Christians think it is humility that, you know, I'm a billionaire, but I can sweep in the house of God. You're a goat. You should have, you should have bought us automatic cleaners. What rubbish are you telling me? You got a billionaire, can sweep in the house of God. My son can sweep in the house of God. Anybody can sweep in the house of God. It doesn't mean anything. No, I'm not impressed. You want to impress me? Start a cleaning company next door. Employ 5 of those jobless boys that beg after service. Tell them, clean church. Take these people off the job of cleaning church. There is nothing holy about the assembly hall. So something's not impressed me. I'll just be looking at it. The guy went, no, it's true. He went for ordination. The day trouble came, God just spared his life for him. They destroyed everything he owned. Get my point? If they had laid hands on him, they would have killed him. There was public annoyance. That guy didn't sin. It was just the opportunity to vent the anger over time. Listen, God didn't defend him because the guy had no treasure in heaven. My father told me of when he bought a pipe organ for their church for 20 million naira. The white men came to install it. They had to strengthen the wall of the building so that the pipe organ wouldn't crack the walls. Could do that. But no poor man had anything positive to say that I was dying, this guy rescued me. Job said, the blessing of one about to perish came upon me. Therefore, I battered my feet in butter and the rocks poured out for me streams of oil. It's treasure in heaven. Listen, men who don't have it don't survive long. I know a man. It's funny. One day I needed a suit urgently because I wanted to go for an interview. I was in Lagos. So, you know, I just went, you know, packed a small bag. Young guy, go Lagos. Now, suddenly I had to go for an interview in Luz. So I said, what do I do now? I said, you have to come formally dressed. I didn't have a suit there. So somebody said, we'll go and call it. This man has a lot of suits. Let me just borrow one from me. My relation. So I had a friend. An old suit. Now, again, when I say old, it wasn't aged. It wasn't frayed. But he's had it for at least many years. And most certainly was not wearing it again. So we had a bet in the house that he will collect it back. Some say he won't, some say he will. I'm a young man like you. How can you wear a suit and he will take it back? I said, let's put a bet. Then the day I finished with the suit, I just wore it for an interview, you know. Just wore it during the interview. After that, you remove it from your shoulder. To my amazement, he collected it. Now, as God lives, I was not eyeing this. It wasn't even fine. No, it's true. No, I'm serious. I didn't like it. It was an old model jacket. I just wanted to wait for the interview. Then people began to describe that if you get to his house, cleaning was a problem because this is a very wealthy fellow who all the clothes he ever wore since he started working as a young man were still in his house. Now, I don't want to tell you that There was one they were telling him that, you know, his wife was very wicked. His wife was very wicked. I said, a man like that cannot marry a good woman. If he mistakenly marries one, he will die young. Go and read the story of Nabal. You understand what I'm saying? His wife was very wicked. I said, why won't you be weak? Ah, that woman must have even tried to live with... No, I'm telling you. Stingy people, they exude wickedness out of their soul. I don't want to tell you some stories. One person you can't stand is a stingy person. You listen to me. If you know a stingy person, you can't stand the fellow. It is not just that he's stingy. It's because his soul does not bring out good. There are people that as soon as they approach, a smile breaks out on your face. You don't know that. There are people that once you see them, you start smiling. But others, the guy is coming this way, you take the other direction. Because you know, say, ah, oh boy, how now? You don't begin tap your pocket. It's true. He wants to collect from you. Meanwhile, he has more than you. I'm emphasizing the point that there's what the Bible calls seed for the sower. And there are two types of seeds for the sower. Number one is the one that I call the one that you use to buy treasure in heaven. Let me say that again. With God, treasure in heaven is not free. Are you getting my point? Treasure in heaven is not what? It's not free. God doesn't give you for free, no matter how poor you think you are. But he said, it is acceptable according to what a man has. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? You understand? Look, that's why me, I'm never in with a preacher who tells me, connect with this anointing with a minimum of 5,000 naira. It is not godly. I don't care what you want to tell me. How can you tell me to connect with an anointing with a minimum of 5,000? Therefore, telling me any man who does not have 5,000 naira cannot be a part of this anointing. If you say that, even if I wanted the anointing, I put my money back. Anyway, you know already, I don't connect with anointings with money. That once you announce it, I won't answer you. That's me for you. I'm not saying everybody must be like that. I told you that when light shines on you, it casts a different shadow. The shadow this light has cast on me is what I'm telling you. I'm telling you the truth. That's just me. That's just me. Okay? Because you see, let me just tell you another thing. One of the problems with life, okay? Now let me just say this, basically. A lot of people who talk about money, they want to collect money. They are not educating people about money. Do you understand my point? They want to collect money. That's why churches hire preachers to raise offering. I mean, they are hired. And they will deceive us that he has an anointing to raise offering. Which kind of rubbish anointing is that? Of all anointings to have. No, that anointing would be okay if it was not for hire. No, it's true. There are people that when they preach, you will give money. You understand my point? But they did not come there to collect your money. So I recognize that one. But once the anointing is for hire, don't fool me, my friend. I'm not a child anymore. No, believe me, I'm not a child anymore. No, listen to me. I don't think I'm a child. I have been preaching the gospel actively for the last 15 years. I'm not a child, though. Listen, I've been preaching since I was on campus. I left university in 1991. We're in 2005. No, really. You can't toss me to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Everybody, look, right now, praise our time. I started again on TBN. I noticed something the other day. Let me just want to share something with you. Let me say to you again, any money you give because you want to receive, you have lost it. You have lost it. Any money you give primarily because you want to receive, you have lost it. Let me say it to you again. If you decide to give, say, you are in lack, let me give so that God can multiply, you have lost it. God said you have not because you do what? Ask not. That's the scripture. I don't believe in giving so as to get. Jesus never taught it. All the examples we give of people who gave and received never gave primarily to get. Are you getting my point? When Peter gave his boat to Jesus Christ, he was an idle man. That is, he had fished all night and caught nothing. Peter was no longer interested in fishing. He was idle. The Bible said they were washing their nets. So he just called himself, thrust into the water a bit. Let me get away from the crowd so I can preach my message. And when he finished, Jesus said, come, put your net here. He said, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Yet, Jesus gave him an overhaul. Get my point. You remember that it was so much the nets began to break and they were sinking. And they had to call for other guys to come and help them. But he wasn't doing it because he wanted to collect fish. Are you getting my point? When Anna made her dedication to God, give me a child, I'll give back to you. She did not think God would give her a second one. She just wanted the satisfaction of motherhood. So as soon as she got down, she was happy. God, look, if God didn't give her an extra child, she would have danced all the rest of her life. But as soon as she gave that one, God released many more children towards her. I'm trying to explain that those that get from God were not motivated by selfishness. I told you before that there is a labor of love, which the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that God is not unrighteous so as to forget. His labor of love, he does not forget. He forgets the labor of selfishness. Anytime I tell people, say that this offering right now is for your breakthrough. I say, I broke through before God called you to ministry. No, it's true. No, I was telling you, I was watching TBN yesterday night. And Paul Crouch did something. You know, they like to raise offering for this thing, and it's good. I mean, Kingsley, I was discussing with you. Those guys spend, I don't know how many billions of dollars annually to keep TBN in the air. It's not a joke. No, you know, Kingsley and I were discussing it. My pastor in Lagos pays about a quarter of a million naira every Sunday to be on TV. We pay Cosmo FM 200 and something thousand naira every quarter to broadcast this. No, and we're not spending money. That's what this guy pays us on Sunday in Lagos. Some people used to think that when they come, they think that Cosmo wanted an extra program. That's why they brought us on. I said, for goodness sake, we pay Cosmo. Look, listen, it costs money to spread the gospel. Nobody is downplaying it at all. So, you see, they need the money. They do. There's no doubt. What upsets me is when one lady comes up and says that the day my husband gave $1,000, her breakthrough came. Right now, go to your phone and give $1,000. I said, my friend, will you drop the microphone and come down from there? Listen, let me tell you what I want to say. Paul Crowe did something yesterday. He brought one man from India and showed that they had a few thousands of cable stations that were broadcasting them 24 hours. And all it cost TBN is $1,000 per station. That is, you will give them a receiver and decoder, one. Total price is about $1,000. And that station will give you a full channel, 24 hours. So Paul Crouch now showed that they had another about 8,000 stations waiting to give them the same services, of which they will be able to cover about the whole of India. Population of India is 1 billion human beings. And the man said, can we let this opportunity go by? People said no. All we need is $8 million, and this is done. So, you know, they have this counter on the phone, on the screen. You see it. How many people are on the phone? So, and somebody was supposed to sing before TDJ would come and preach. So he said, listen. Before I drop this microphone, I want that thing to reach zero. That is, I want all the lines jammed. So I know you guys are listening to me. I noticed something. I don't know why my wife was there. I pointed out. I think you came in. I told her, I said, did you notice that this guy did not tell anybody what's in it for them? He just showed them the opportunity for ministry. And do you know within 15 seconds, the lines jammed? Christians are not bad people. Let us stop making them appear as if they are selfish. They are inherently good people. If they see opportunity to be a blessing to God, they will do it. Like the woman that I had prayed, he said, God help me. You know, if you were in this same situation and I was your God, I would help you. That's how Christians are. If they see how they can give to God, they will. The problem a lot of time when preachers come whipping up sentiments is that they are not persuaded your work is for God. I was happy when in 15 seconds after I said that thing, the lines jammed and went straight to zero. He just said, come on, drop that thing to zero for me. That is, if you are listening, call in with a pledge. You know, people think that we need the money, we are getting results. Listen, you have not tried believers. You have not told them the truth. You will know that you do not need to lie to them that this offering is for their breakthrough. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, let me just say that to you before I leave. If you have been giving primarily because you want to get, you have been throwing away money. Are you getting my point? People oftentimes think that it is there. You plant a seed. Listen, you can plant a seed and kill it. Do you understand my point? And all those seeds planted out of selfishness were dead on arrival. You know what in the clinic they call DOA? Dead on arrival. They were still bursts. I'm telling you. What does God reward? The labor of love. things that are done purely because you want to be a blessing, purely because you want to honor God. Yes, I know that God will pay you back, and there's nothing wrong with expecting God to pay you back. But please, don't do things primarily because you expect God to pay you. Because if God demands payment for your head, where will you get money for it? He said the redemption of a soul is costly. You know, people don't understand God when they come talking, they kind of, I gave this offering, this one was for my life. You are kidding. Yeah, I mean, I don't believe it anyway, so is it really? I've passed that stage now, so those things don't worry me anymore. Anyway, our time is far gone. I really want to close. But what I'm emphasizing today is this. There is seed for the sower, there is bread for food, and there are two kinds of seed. The first one I've been discussing is treasure in heaven. That is, remember one thing I said, was it last week we discussed it here? What I call the priestly corner in your life, yes. That the service of God, that is the things that really sustain life, when viewed under the heaven, they appear like a waste of time. That if you go to Israel, if you went to Israel those days, the greatest time they wasted by every human standard was the times they spent worshiping. After all, when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go that they might worship me in the wilderness," he says, "It's because you have nothing to do." You know that's what Pharaoh said? He said, "Give them more work. They are idle." That's why they want to go and worship one strange god. Oh, are you getting my point? That you see, when Solomon sacrificed, physically speaking, this guy, gets my point, he wasted animals. I told you something last week. When Jacob was going on his journey, he told God, "If you will bless me, I will give you 10% of whatever you give to me." I said, there was no temple. There were no priests. Who did he give the money to? The animals. I'll give you the answer. The man took them, slaughtered them, and set them on fire. And he said that was an offering to God. Smoke. You just destroyed this animal and reduced, and you just reduced it to ashes. I said, "This is your God." What am I saying? The worship of God appears like the waste of time. I told you that even under the old covenant, where we pick most of our doctrines of tithing from, the tithe they were meant to pay every year was meant to be wasted in a wild celebration. God said, "Take it to the place where I've chosen to honor my name, and there, buy whatever you like." You know the interesting thing? He said, "If you want to get drunk, go ahead." He said, "Buy strong drink. Drink. Look. Just make sure the money finishes." You know the interesting thing? Any man who doesn't finish it and puts that thing in the barn, God said, "This night, I will require a soul from you." What am I saying? The things that sustain health, long life, and prosperity, they appear like waste, physically speaking. They usually don't do any good to you. That is when you take money and send to TBN as an example. It has not improved your stock holdings, physically speaking. It hasn't. When you give to somebody who is in need, when you give to somebody who has been a blessing to you, when you give to honor your father, which is the interesting part, if your father is richer than you, it means nothing. You are supposed to honor a father. It has nothing to do whether he's a millionaire or it doesn't mean anything. The issue is that fathers are meant to be honored. So when you give to a father, it will appear like a waste that, after all, the little I have, how can I go? You know my father is a millionaire. Mentally, spiritually speaking, you don't have sense. Pastor Paul Adefaras, the last time he came to Enugu, he was telling us something about relationship with Bishop T.D. Jakes. Guess my point. T.D. Jakes is so wealthy that he bought a jet and decided to just fly it around to warm the engine. That he flew from U.S. to Jamaica, you know, just flew around to warm the engine. Let me see how the plane I bought is doing. That's how wealthy the fellow is. Yeah, Pastor Paul Adefaras said something because it's like he's a spiritual son to him. He said the man has never given him a dime. He said, listen to his words. He said he has never been stupid enough to give me money. That was what he said. But he has personally given him offerings of $100,000. The Bible said a son honors the father. This has nothing to do with poverty or need. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There was one story my pastor in Lagos told once about the Australian president. The time came, they wanted to increase the man's pay. You know, communists will tell you that, all these socialists. No, doesn't it so that amount of money? He said they interviewed some people, one of whom was the pastor of the church. That, you know this woman, Hillsong's, Darlene Zesh. Her pastor was one of the people they interviewed. He said the man made a statement as a man of spiritual understanding. He said it's not about need, it's about honor. The president of the nation should be well paid. He doesn't have to need him. If you like, let him burn the money after you give it to him, but you must give it to him. Are you getting my point? That is, the priestly corner of life oftentimes appears like a waste. But that is what is called treasure in heaven. That is how you lay up your treasure in heaven. We'll talk about it further next time. All right? Because I want to close today. There is spiritual seed. It must not be neglected. It is a foundation for every other thing. The widow, all right, that had only two mites. Jesus did not tell her she was foolish. Did you notice that? If anything, what did he give? What did he get? A commendation. That is, no one is ever so poor that he cannot honor God. None. Bishop Odeko used to say something. That because he believes so strongly that anytime he goes to church, he must give an offering. All right? He said, so when he realized that he doesn't have any money, he'll go there early to go and sweep the place. That whatever they will have paid somebody to clean this place is my offering for the day. Are you getting my point? The reason is this. God does not excuse anybody from buying treasure in heaven. Let me close with one point, which I began to make last time. Everything in life must be, you must make a room. I think I have to develop this for 5 minutes and then we close because our time is gone, please. And I'll continue from there again next time. Everything in life, you must make a room for it. That's why the Bible says, don't give room to the devil. Are you understanding my point? You must always make a plan. Jesus said, which one of you want to build a tower? Who will not first sit down and calculate the cost? Being impulsive is not equivalent to Christianity. Are you getting my point? A lot of people preach as if the way to live is to be impulsive. Just wake up. When you go to church on Sunday, the pastor must have something strange coming up again that you must task you for. You know, remember I've said something. We are getting solid principles into our hearts and all this that I'm saying. Because you know what error is? Error is not something that has no foundation on the truth. No. Error is truth carried a bit beyond its time and beyond its scope. You understand what I'm saying? Like sacrificing an animal to God, to honor God, is not in itself wrong, but it has gone beyond the time. That is, the time has passed. Elisha told Gehazi, is this the time to receive? You know, everything has a time. Error is when you carry something beyond its time. So a lot of things that people preach that I call error, fundamentally, there's nothing wrong with them. But look at a man's motive. A man, it happens a lot. A pastor decides that he has built, like my friend was telling me about his denomination, where he pastors for one of their branches. That one of their big guys, pastoring that whole section, said that God spoke to him to go and build one big headquarters. You know, to build it, they have some militants that they hire to come and raise the money. Breakthrough has come. Take a seed in your hand. There is a connection. By tomorrow morning, God, in fact, once I start hearing that one, once I know the pastor started with the project in hand, I know this is not based on truth. You know, for a long time, I was wondering what is the balance. Because I knew there was a scripture. The one day I was listening to my pastor in Lagos, because the guy stimulates me a lot. He said that Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then it clicked. That when men preach like that, they are not feeding, they are milking. Do you understand my point? You can say the same spiritual truths with the intent to feed. But there are times you say those things, but with the intention of milking. Paul said, I may be teaching you about giving, but not because I want to receive money from you. I'm so happy. Look, when I say all the things I want to say now, you know me very well. I always used to say, somebody said that we are doing a great work. Come and give towards that. It's your opinion that is a great work. I may not think it's great work. So I never tell anybody I'm doing great work. How are you? Ah, we are fine. How's Kingdom World? We still meet every Saturday. We broadcast now on Cosmo FM. I'll tell you what we are doing. I will not tell you it's a great work. We need the offering. Go for, look, listen. It's only once in my life Only once in my life, I have told somebody that you should give towards this ministry. Only once in my life, and I had my reason for doing it. And he told me, as if to prove to me I must never do it again, that he didn't feel like doing so. Despite the fact that he had the money. No, I didn't feel bad that I said it because I had my reasons. The only thing I tell people is look at what we are doing. I will announce to them, we now broadcast on Cosmo FM. I will announce to them, we have this number of tracks. Now, I announce to them, we have books. Go to our website, download our messages. But to tell you that, please, we need money. Listen, we don't need money. If God cannot supply money, he didn't call me. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's how God has caused me to understand these things. He said, okay, you have so much money. That's not the issue. What we can't afford, we won't do. Are you getting my point? What we cannot afford, if God does not supply the money, I won't do it. I'm not on an ego trip. At all. That gives me the ability to say what I want to say, and no anybody wants to get offended, it's his personal problem. You get my point? Uh-huh. That is, nobody will say, hey, someone's abusing us, we won't give him money again. You know, nobody has the opportunity here. Amen. All right, let me just conclude what I was saying. I was saying that, listen, anything you have to do, you have to plan for it. Let's stop living impulsively. According as a man has increased mentally, you have an arrangement in your head. I'm not saying it is not, how do you call it? It cannot be bent. But generally, you have a guiding principle. That this is what I give towards spiritual seed. This is what I give for physical seed. And this is my bread for food. It's a matter of proportion and they keep on changing. Let me give you an example. If you have very little, if you earn very little, it is likely that your proportion of bread for food will be high. Do you understand my point? Yeah, it's likely. I mean, a man in current day Nigeria who earns 10,000 naira a month is not likely to be giving out 8,000 naira a month. He has to eat. When you hear that some men, people like R.G. Letourneau, that a man was giving out, even Archbishop Benson in Dausa, these are men who routinely gave out beyond 90% of their income. Any money you give them, more than 90% is given out. Yet, he never wore one agbada twice. You get my point? He wears one suit. You know, you hardly see it again on his shoulders. Are you getting what I'm saying? But then, generally, they understood that there is a portion that is bread. There is a portion that is what? Seed. And like I said, there are two kinds of seed. I've talked about one seed today. Next time, I'll talk about the second seed. But don't forget, you should have a planned life. That is how you handle finances. I am not one person that believes that every time you go for a meeting, you must drop an offering. I don't believe it. No. Listen, I know when I earn my pay. And ahead of time, the checks are mentally issued. Once the money drops to the account, I issue the checks physically. And each one goes in its various direction. Are you understanding my point? If it is church I am going to, I know I will get money. Why do I have to wait till service day? As soon as I write the check, so next service I drop it. But so that we don't give people offense, that's why I drop offering every time we go to church. So the offering is usually very small compared to what I can give. But the real giving is given as a check once a month. If a special need arises, you get my point? Then you task yourself again, specially. Those are times you may have to deny yourself food. That's what the Bible calls labor of love. It costs you something extra. Are you getting my point? Our time is gone, so I got to close now. Let us pray.